Today, as we celebrate this glorious feast day of the Holy Face of Jesus, we are first reminded that numerous times God tells us in the Old Testament that one cannot look upon the face of God and live. And that is indeed true. We cannot look into the very essence of the divinity of God and live, because our natural eyes are not able to capture the supernatural. And if we tried to, we would die on the spot. It's sort of like if we try to look at the sun. We can't see if there's no light. If it's absolute darkness, even if you have 20/20 vision, you can't see anything. So the light of the sun is what allows us to see. And yet if we try to stare at the sun, we will go blind. It is God Himself who gives us life. And yet if we were to try to look right into the very face of God, the essence of God, we will die. But then we look at it from another perspective, and we see that when we get to heaven, that's exactly what we're going to do, is look right into the face of God. We are going to look at the very essence of God Himself, and we will have the fullness of life at that point, which is why we will be able to look at Him. We will be conformed to Him. God, who dwells in light inaccessible, we will be able to enter into that light. And having been perfected before we can get there, we will be able to look at the face of God, and we will have life eternal. But in the meantime, we see that there is something more. For instance, we hear in the first reading today from Zechariah that they will look upon Him whom they have pierced. If they're going to look upon Him, it's not just the body of the person that they have pierced through that they're going to look at. They're going to look at His face. We look at the prophet Isaiah in that profound prophecy in the 53rd chapter, where we hear about the passion of the Messiah. And it tells us that His face is so disfigured, there is nothing comely that would make us look at Him, that we're not able to look at His face. And it's interesting when you put it in that kind of a context, because our Lord Himself told us that just as the serpent was lifted up in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. What did the people have to do in the desert? They had to look at the serpent. If they were bitten by a serpent, Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on the pole, and the people had to look at it in order to be healed. And Jesus tells us that that's what's going to happen to Him. It's not enough to be able to say, yep, they hung Him up there just like Moses did with the snake. We have to look at Him. Now, we could look at His feet with the nails piercing them. We could look at His side that has been opened for us. We can look at His hands. We can look at the wound on His shoulder. But we must look at His face. That is the only way that we are going to be healed, is to look upon the face of the Lord. And we look at that and say, but isn't that a contradiction then? Because God said we can't look at the face, at His face, and live. We cannot look into the essence of God and live in this world. But in Jesus, God took a human form and therefore had a human face. That human face is what allowed the divinity to shine through, so that when anyone, from our Blessed Lady, when our Lord was born, all the way to the centurion at the cross, when they looked at his face, they recognized that this was God. Nobody walking down the street was able to see that. The divinity was hidden behind his humanity. And yet, because Jesus is a divine person and not a human person, it is his humanity and it is his divinity that is shining through. It is just like you in that sense. We know that what happens with the human person is that when we make an act of the will, we make a choice that is expressed physically in and through the body. But in a very particular way, it is expressed in and through your face. You can have what they call a poker face, but the reality is that if anybody knows you well enough, they know you're angry, you're sad, you're happy, whatever. How do they know? By looking at your face. And so when we look at the face of Jesus, it is indeed the divine person who is shining through that face. But only those with faith would be able to see that. That's what the centurion at the cross was able to do when he said, "Surely this man is the Son of God." He didn't say that because there was an earthquake. He didn't say that because when our Lord's heart was pierced and the blood and water came out, there was something much more profound that had to have happened. And all we can say is that he must, at some point, have looked up and looked into the face of our blessed Lord. The beautiful thing when you consider that is that because his face was so marred that we were not able to see the humanness of his face, that leaves only one option: to look deeper and see the divinity. So either we are going to be completely repulsed by looking at his face in that manner, or if we have that grace to look deeper, to be able to see the divinity that was shining through his humanity, which means that what that man saw as he was there at Calvary was the love of God coming through a human face. Because his face was so battered, only the divinity, only the love could be seen. And that's exactly what he saw. That's what our Blessed Lady saw from the very first moment of our Lord's life on earth. Because of her faith, she knew who this was. Nobody else did. Saint Joseph, of course, did. And a few people to whom God had given that grace, like Elizabeth and Simeon. Ultimately, even when it would come to Peter, and he could make his act of faith and say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Once that grace was given, they could no longer look at his face the same way. This wasn't just Jesus, the son of Joseph. This is the Son of God. And they knew it. And they then could look beyond the surface, beyond what was just there, so obvious to the human eye. And they were able to see something that the human eye cannot see. They were able to see God. Not the essence of God. Even our Blessed Lady, with her absolute purity, could not look at the essence of God in this life and live. So they couldn't see the essence, but they could see the divinity. They could see the love of God shining through the face of Jesus. And that's exactly what he wants from you and me. If we are to look upon him whom they have pierced through, that is our only means of salvation. There is no other way. While we can say very clearly that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that is absolutely true. But then we can narrow that down a little bit and say it is our Lord's passion. It is what happened in those last hours of his life. And there is no means to heaven except the cross of Jesus Christ. But it's not the cross that is the salvation. It is the person on the cross. And therefore, it draws us right to him. When I am lifted up from the earth, he said, I will draw people to myself. That doesn't mean we're just being drawn to stand around. It means we are being drawn to be united with him. If we're going to unite with somebody in a human way, we look them in the eye. We look at their face. You can't be united with somebody and look at the ground. It doesn't work. You can be in their presence, but you can't be united with them in that way. We have to look at his face. And when you think about the crucifix, we see our Lord in an absolutely vulnerable position. He cannot hide his face. There is nothing he can do to hide his face. Not that he wants to. But in our humanness, it's we who want to hide our face from him. So look at what he's done. He has put his face right out there and drawn us and is essentially saying, look at me. That's the means to salvation. And it is the only means to salvation. And that is what we're going to be able to do for eternity. Yes, we will be looking right into the essence of God. But we will all be able to see right beyond the humanity. But our Lord's humanity is united with his divinity in heaven. And so while we're looking into the essence of God, just as like we're going to be able to look into the essence of every other human person who's there, for our Lord, that includes his humanity. Which means we will be looking right into his face, into his eyes, and we will be perfectly united with him. But just as it is with all of the mysteries of our Lord, we see his love for us. It would be no injustice if he just simply said, look, here are the promises, get here, they will all be fulfilled. But he wasn't willing to just do that. He wasn't patient in that way. Thanks be to him. He wanted to come and establish all of that and give us a foretaste of what heaven is going to be. So not only do we have those promises, but we have all the steps along the way. So just as the Eucharist is union with Jesus, and that's what we're going to have for eternity, so too he came in a form that we could look at. Yes, he took a human body so that he could die, because as God he cannot. But he took a human body with a human face so that we could literally look upon the love of God. That's what we're going to do for eternity. But he has already established it. And allowing his face to be completely beaten and marred forces us to look beyond the surface. And it forces us to look at his disposition. Why did he do this? It's because he loves you. And with his heart wide open, because it was pierced that way, with him being up there completely vulnerable and his face completely vulnerable, we have nothing to fear. In case we thought we did, he put himself in a position where there's nothing he can do. So he wants to receive us. He's drawn us to himself. And now he wants us to be united with him. And it's a matter of going there to that cross and with our Blessed Lady, with St. Mary Magdalene, with St. John, and not just uniting ourselves with his suffering, which we need to, it's uniting ourselves with his love. So just think, when you're in love with somebody, what do? You look them in the face and you tell them, I love you. That's what he's looking for. When we look at him on the cross, it puts all the human nonsense to the side. We don't love him for this reason or that reason. We love him because of who he is. And that's the only thing, because you look at somebody who's completely beaten up. We're not attracted to him because he's handsome. We're not attracted to him because he's nice. We're not attracted to him for whatever other reason. We are attracted to him because he is love. And that is what shines through the face of Jesus. That's what we have to look at. When they will look upon him whom they have pierced, it is to look at his face. And in that gaze that he is looking at you, he's going to tell you how much he loves you. And there is only one way to respond, and that's to look right back at him and tell him the same thing. But we have to look into our own hearts and ask how much we really mean it. His is perfect. His is 100%. That's why he's leaving himself wide open and vulnerable up there. Now he wants us to come to him and allow ourselves to be vulnerable with him. He can't hurt us. He's up on the cross, nailed there. We don't have to worry about anything. Let the guard down. Be humble. Come to him and look upon him. That's what they had to do with the serpent in the desert. That's what Zechariah said that people are going to do. That's what our Lord told us we have to do. Because when he's on the cross, he's going to draw people to himself. He's not just drawing you for some generic reason. He's drawing you there in love. And he's asking you to love him as he loves you. That's what this is all about. Look at his face. What is in his heart is going to come out on his face. What is in his heart is going to shine through his eyes. You cannot hide the eyes. The saints call the eyes the window to the soul. His soul is pure and perfect. Imagine what it will be to look into those beautiful eyes of our Lord, into his soul, into his heart. That's what happens when you look at his face. That's what he is calling us for. To be saved, yes, but not again in a generic way. To be united with him. That's what he desires. And that union is a union of love. So he is there waiting for you. He is looking from the cross right at your face. now he wants you to look up, like that centurion did, at his face. Look beyond the woundedness and look at why he was wounded. By that I don't mean, oh, because the Romans did this or the Jews did that. No. He was wounded because of love. He was wounded because he is in love with you. So look beyond the wounds and look into his heart and allow him to look into yours. And then that union can happen. Then being drawn when he is on the cross, we will look at him just as the people had to look at the serpent, just as Zechariah said, that is where we will be healed. That is where we will be saved. That is where we will have a true union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas it said regarding Moses, God used to speak to him face to face. Obviously, Moses couldn't look at the face of God and live, so it's a little different than what it might sound like. But in this case, we can look at God right in the face, because that is exactly what he's calling us to. That is why he took this body and his face to himself, so that he could be united with us. So answer his call. Make yourself vulnerable with him. Open your heart as he has opened his, and look into his face as he looks at yours. Allow yourself to be loved, and love him in return.